All right, y'all. Evening. You can turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I too am having trouble. It wasn't just me making fun. Kevin and I have a former boss we used to make fun of. An observation that I made, he'd always go every 2 minutes or so. So I caught myself doing that tonight, not intentionally. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I've really enjoyed working our way through 1 Corinthians, as I previously mentioned. thank you.
Here's a hack for that.
Oh, thanks. There's a study that years ago, Luke Wilson went through, and I learned a lot through that study, and I've just really enjoyed going back through his notes on this, but give him all credit, really valuable even for some of us. It's review, but it's great review. So I'm really excited for the verses tonight. A lot of what I'm going to bring out actually dovetail to most everything that was brought up today. Even rain, with the veil being removed, we're going to hit that. So, but we'll start 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 10 through 16. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, it is certain that as our Creator, that you know our hearts better than we know ourselves. It is certain that you know the better way to live this life as spirits in this physical realm. It is certain, Father, that you have communicated to us by putting these words down in a handy little book for us to follow. And I'm just grateful for that, Father. I pray that as we work through these verses tonight, that we will have a resolve to have a spiritual focus, and that we will be led by the Spirit in all that we endeavor in this week to come. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so in way of a review, maybe an introduction, you know, we've been working through 1 Corinthians of late in chapter 2. And some of the highlights that we've looked at, you know, it's not my fancy words of wisdom. It's not by some sort of persuasive speech or wowing the people that we're going to lead people to Christ, right? Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. And so the message is Christ. No big surprise there, right? And it doesn't mean like the picture that a lot of people have is Jesus walking around this earth with a pair of sandals. It's not the physical Jesus. The message is Christ. And really, this whole book is about Jesus Christ. And we know that from the Revelation 19 and 10, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so the whole purpose of this prophecy is Jesus Christ. No surprises there, really. But okay, so the scriptures are there for a reason. We worked on this previously. And when we start working with people, you know, we try to find out, is there spiritual interest there? You know, Are there spiritual motives? And then proving that the Bible is real, proving that it is the true word of God. And that's not some man's wisdom, that's wisdom from God, wisdom from above. And so that's the way it's set forth. That's the reason God gave us those prophecies, is for us to be able to nail that down with others. And then also, we talked about the wisdom that none of the rulers of this age has understood. And so the reality of it is this world doesn't know what's going on. Okay? They don't truly know what's going on because they have a perspective that is from the earth. It's fleeting. The way of the world, and the scripture would say in James chapter 3, is earthly, natural, and demonic. That's the way of the world. And now the Lord, He pulls us up, right? He lifts us up with Him and says, now look at this from the right perspective, okay? That's really the way we want to look at it. That's the perspective and the thrust of these particular passages is really that all of us should grow up and that we are lifted up, and that should be our reality. That we can become spiritual people and get our eyes lifted up off of this ball of dirt and up to the throne. Okay? To see God's plan and to find our place in it and then engage in that. And so we'll work through some of these verses here tonight. But first I want to talk about the Spirit. In verse 10, he says, For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And so we'll talk about the Spirit a little bit, and then we'll come back and relate it briefly to the Spirit of God. And so man is three parts. Man is body, soul, and spirit. And we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to tell us that. Scripture nails that down for us. The body's pretty obvious, right? It's what Scripture would call this temporal house, okay? Or it's this tent that we drag around with us, right? The older we get, the more obvious it is that this body is temporal. It's breaking down. If you don't believe that, come talk to me. I'll convince you. The world is not our home. It's clear. This body is not eternal. It was never meant to be. This body is not our eternal dwelling place. And, you know, we can think of it as a machine, right? It's a machine. It has purpose. Its purpose is to cart us around this ball of dirt so that we can do the things, carry out the work that we have to while we're here. And like any other machine, this thing breaks down. Okay? Even with regular upkeep and putting clean fuel in it, still breaks down. Problem is, the body wears out quicker than the mind. Anyone else found that to be true? So a lot of times in our heads, we can still run with the best of them, right? Like, oh yeah, I got that. And your body says, what are you doing, you dummy? Right? It's not meant to last. It's breaking down. And so the body is a vehicle, okay? And it's a vehicle for the mind, right? The mind is what's inside. And that's what leads the soul. And so that brings me to the next point, the soul. The soul is what makes us, right? It's what animates this thing. And now animals have souls too, and a lot of people get confused on that. Scriptures are actually, would bring it out. It says that, and this was brought up this morning by Kendall, do not drink the blood of animals, right? Brought out from the Old Testament. The soul is in the blood. That's what it says. So animals have souls. That's what makes them alive, right? That's what animates them. They have some feelings and stuff too as well. But as a side note, you know, animals, and we're not putting them on the same level as humans, but the scriptures are clear. They do have souls. And so, you know, the scriptures also talk about, you know, people that don't treat animals right. And you can look into that in the book of Proverbs. You know, someone that's cruel to animals, you know, a person's got a problem. You can check it out on your own. But they do have feelings, okay? But again, they're not on the same level as humans. But they do have souls. And so, humans then. We also have a spirit, right? That's what makes us eternal beings. You can turn to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, way in the beginning, we're going to look at verses 26 and 27. And God describing what he has planned for mankind. He says in verse 26 of Genesis 1, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him." And so God made man in his own image. Right? It was a pretty familiar verse. But guys, we're not talking about the physical body. Okay? A lot of people get that mixed up. It doesn't mean that, okay, well, God looks like us or we look like him. No. And a little bit later in Genesis, he says, "My spirit will not strive with man forever because he is also flesh." The body, this body is not the part of us that is made in the image of God. We know this from Jesus' conversation in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and the body is not the part that was made in the image of God. It's the spirit. God is spirit. And so you think a little bit about that. What does differentiate humans from animals? There's some things that I've thought of periodically. You know, we have the ability to communicate, to intelligently and logically communicate, right? Verbally, written, etc. That's one of the things that we're made in the likeness of God. You know, you think of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, right? Logos. It's the logical communication. God who made us spoke, right? He communicated to us, and when he had made us in his image, in his likeness, he made us with the ability to communicate intelligently, to listen, to understand, and to communicate back. Okay, so what else? Well, animals don't have the ability to make moral choices, do they? They're not moral beings. The scripture speaks to them as creatures of instinct. So they're driven by instinct. That's what they are. Their instincts kick in and off they go, right? Hard to turn that. Our dog, one of our dogs, we have a wiener dog. His instinct is to bark. Always and at everything. Even me, in my own house. I can be upstairs in our house, walk downstairs to grab something, immediately come back upstairs, and he's barking at me like I'm coming to steal his puppy chow or something. I was just here! And he's barking his tail off. In my own home. Is he being a bad dog? Thank you, Larry. Is he being immoral, bad dog? No, he's... I like Larry's answer better, but no, his instinct is kicking in, right? That's what he knows. It's wired in him. And we humans understand the difference between right and wrong. We understand the difference between good and evil, right? We can make those moral choices. And so the Spirit, it's a complicated subject, right? Scriptures have a lot to say about it. I heard Luke put it this way. The mind of man is really the control center. Okay? And the mind is an amazing thing. And there's a connection between the mind and the spirit, no doubt about it. And there's even times where scripture is going to use mind and heart synonymously with spirit. But the mind in and of itself, and we might think about the brains of a human being, that is not the spirit. Okay? If we think about it in terms of a computer, the brains are the central processing unit, right? The CPU. But the spirit is the programmer, right? Something deep inside us that determines who we are. It determines what our mind focuses on. People have brain injuries and things like that, brain challenges. But somewhere within them, they continue to fight, right? They continue to fight, even though their brain is messed up. Something within them continues to push on. Live or die, that's the spirit, okay? The spirit deep inside us, that's the programmer. And so the scripture would call that our inner man, okay? How about this? Think about this, particularly spoken in reference to ladies in 1 Peter 3, and it would be really related to women, but it's across the board, and Kevin brought this up in Atlanta's funeral. What God's looking for is the hidden person of the heart, right, in 1 Peter 3. What God is interested in, brethren, is our spirit. The spirit is the real you. Go to Proverbs 27, if you would. The spirit is the real you. We are spirits having a physical experience, right? In Proverbs 27, in verse 19, it says, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. Okay, we got the water, or in our modern day, we can go to a mirror and we can check it out. And what we get right back is our face. We get that image of what we look like. And that shows what we look like, but it doesn't show the inner person. It doesn't show who we are. It doesn't show the man that you really are, truly. If you think Proverbs 20, if you want to turn there. You know, you think about this in reference to the context of the verses that we're looking at here in 1 Corinthians 2. It said that the Spirit searches all things, right? That's talking about God's Spirit. Even the depths of God. And look, check this out in Proverbs 20 and 27. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. That's interesting. The spirit of the man, is the lamp of the Lord. And sometimes questions come up about where people are with God, right? And there are certain things that we know that scriptures are clear and concise. On the day of judgment, though, we're going to be judged by the deeds done in our body, whether good or bad. But there's something else. There's something else. The motives of the man's heart are going to be revealed, aren't they? The motives. And the one thing that I can't know about anyone else is the motives of their heart. I can't know that. And that's not my place to judge their motives either. Does the Lord know that? Oh, yeah. Who else knows that? I know the motives of my own heart, right? You know the motives of your heart. And so now some people are playing games with this. Most people hide from this. A lot of people avoid thinking about who they really are. But the spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of his being. We know. We slow down and think about it. We know exactly where we're at. And so does God. The challenge is to be honest. That's the spirit, our spirit, that's his lamp. That's the way God is judging us, by our spirit. How does that then relate to God? Well, to truly know God, the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. To truly know God, we are going to have his Spirit. We're going to have to be filled with his Spirit and being led by the Spirit. For the sake of time, we don't have time to go there, but you can check it out on your own. Romans chapter 8, right? Verses around 26 and 27. We know that the Spirit being an intercessor for us in our prayers. Okay? You go check that out. The scripture says, check out what the scriptures say about that. The Spirit is able to search these things out to the depths, to God's depths. And so if we want to know God, it's essential that we're going to have His Spirit. Okay? Now there's a problem. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2. This is something that we run into all the time in dealing with people that aren't spiritual. You know, it's our job, it's our mission to help these people come to Christ. But there's a barrier there. You ever feel like when you're working with people that you're talking to a brick wall? When you're trying to explain and bring out spiritual stuff? Because in many ways you are. The scripture puts it in this way. In verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Now, a lot of people take this a little further than what Scripture actually says, and they'll say that the non-Christians can't even understand Scriptures. Now, that's just not true. Okay, logically, God has written this book for everyone. Okay, Logos. It's written in a way that can be understood from a logical perspective by anybody that will be honest with what it says. So you can have non-Christians read this. They can see the points, and logically it makes sense, right? I remember Luke would always give the example of a young lady that he studied with. And she said, told him one time, "You know, I believe that the Bible is true, but I just don't agree with it." What? Logically, she understood. She saw. And it's true, but she didn't want to change, really, is what she was saying. She didn't want to change. So logically, it can be understood. A matter of fact, I think that it says somewhere in Isaiah chapter 1, maybe around verse 18, it says, "Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins might be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they'll be like wool." Well, who's he talking to? He's talking to people lost in their sins, right? Come, let us reason together. This can be understood logically. So it's not like when you become a Christian, you know, that the Holy Spirit just miraculously, all of a sudden, these words just jump off the page and it's going to give you like massive brain power, like that before you couldn't do math and now you can. It doesn't exactly work like that. But there is something that does happen here. And that's what we'll work on here. Moving forward. The problem is that natural man has the wrong focus. He has the wrong focus. You know, we've got some barriers here with that. And now, so if we know that the focus is off, and we know that your direction will be off as well, because we know that the body goes where the eyes are looking, right? Where they're focused on. And the worldly man, or the natural man, as scriptures would say, he has the wrong focus. Because his focus is on the world. And they just can't possibly understand. They can't see the kingdom. It's a problem. They don't even know it's there because their focus is all out of whack. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. You know, there's a problem. There was a problem with Adam. Even before Adam partook of the fruit and ate, the problem that plagues mankind, naturally, in 1 Corinthians 15, we'll grab verse 45. "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, became life-giving spirit. However, the spirit is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly." Adam naturally was earthy, wasn't he? He's from the earth, inherently focused on what Jay Wilson would call, he has more focus on the back 40 than he does lifting his eyes up to God. right? Adam had a relationship with God, but it wasn't valuable to him. Obviously, given what he did, he's more interested in enjoying that lush garden, right? All the fruits that were available to him, and even some that weren't. But that's the problem with humans in general, a natural focus in this world. And you just think about, you know, think about all the people that you come in contact with throughout the week, maybe at work. What do they talk about? When it comes to Friday, what are they talking about? Yoo-hoo, we get to go to, it's going to be Lord's Day soon. Not really. Not even close. They're thinking about how they can go and get trashed Friday night, right? Forget about the week that they just had, right? And then they'll go out the next week to make more money to do the same thing the following weekend. Or it's some variation of that, right? That's the story of mankind in general. Their face is down here. What do the scriptures say about the natural man? That it cannot properly appraise. It cannot properly appraise. They can't assign appropriate value, as Kevin's been preaching on for a while now. They can't appraise it. If I took Zoe up to the mall, to the Build-A-Bear store, and I told her, you can build whatever bear you want, or you can have $1 million, which would it be? Which would it be, Zoe? Build-A-Bear. Build-A-Bear. Why? She can't correctly appraise what $1 million is, right? What it's worth. She can't assign value to that. What value is it? It's more than a Build-A-Bear, right? Though she doesn't know that. I think she probably knows that. She's just too embarrassed to say. So now that brings us to, let's bring this to mankind. We offer mankind $1 million or a relationship with God. What do you think they're going to choose? $1 million. Why? That's what's right in front of them. That's all they know. They cannot properly appraise the value of a relationship with God, their Creator. That's the problem. That's the barrier. That's what Scripture is getting at here. And so what Jesus would say in John chapter 3:3, in his discussion with Nicodemus, he says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. The literal Greek version there is he cannot recognize the kingdom of God. He cannot assign a proper value or an appropriate value to it unless he is born again. You know what that literally means? Born from above. He cannot recognize the kingdom. And then on top of that, people have sin issues. And that warps the perspective even further, doesn't it? Sin destroys. People get stuck in sin. They get suspicious. Everything goes wonky. Everything gets twisted up. Sometimes people can't, they're not even able to think straight. They're not even able to. And so you're dealing with them from the scriptures, and it, and their sin has just got them so twisted up. You know, when a person falls, we're talking about the fall, okay, not about Adam. We're talking about each individual, as we know, it was mentioned this morning, all have sinned. Stuff gets warped, right? All people got to fight their way back, though. It's a long trek. They have to want to become spiritual people really bad and be honest enough to do so. You know, when you're working with people, working back through the scriptures and trying to make their way back, you have to be able to say, now, what does that say? What does it say? Sometimes you got to ask them multiple times. It's uncomfortable, but you got to do it. Why? Because sin twists and warps people's perspective. People have a tough time thinking through tough stuff like that, so they need our help. Go with me to John chapter 8. I want to close with thinking about the spiritual man. You know, we know the problem of the natural man, so let's talk about the spiritual man. That's us. And the thrust, the real thrust of 1 Corinthians 2, guys, is that God has given us His Spirit. So John chapter 8 and verse 23, Jesus is saying this to the Jews having this discussion. He says, and He was saying to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. What's the song that we sing? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We are not of this world, right? Now we get to say, and it was brought up this morning real well, we get to say like Jesus, I am from above, right? We've been born again. We've been born from above. That's some great self-talk right there. Keep that in your mind. I'm from above. They are from below. So guess what? Our perspective is different. We see things the way they really are, and that's not being arrogant. We don't want to be arrogant about that, but it's true. That's the reality. We see things from a different perspective than everyone else that's in the world. Okay? But we shouldn't be arrogant about that because that's where we were once too. We also were blinded. But we do get to see things differently now. The way that they truly are, God's done some amazing things for us. And this is why things start to fall into place. Things start to click. You know, God does give us His Spirit. You know, in Ezekiel 36, we can go there. We get a real good look at this. What's going on for the Christian? The prophecy here. What happens for the Christian? But I like how this communicates this in Ezekiel 36 and 26. It says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Brethren, aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? Man. Because we know. It was talked about, Nolan brought it out well this morning. We know the heart of man is desperately sick and left on its own. Okay? But we have a new heart. This new heart inside this new critter, right? Mr. Schaefer brought up, is one of that desires righteousness. This new critter, this new heart is a good heart. This new spirit has not been warped by sin. It's a new critter, and it's been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Amen? Righteousness and holiness of the truth. This is the Spirit that lives within us, brethren. God gave us His Spirit so that we will carry out His ordinances, His desires. For we have the mind of Christ, it said in 1 Corinthians 2. In 2 Corinthians 4, it talks about people of this world. It specifically says, referring to those who are perishing. Those who are perishing, they can't see the glory of God. That's a problem. They can't see it. What sin? All have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. They can't see the glory of God. And those who are perishing are in this boat. And the reason the Scripture has said is the God of this world has blinded their minds that they might not see that light. Can't see it. And so scripturally, what happens then? It was brought up by rain tonight briefly. In 2 Corinthians 3, it tells us whenever a person turns to the Lord, whenever a person is immersed into Christ, right, that veil is taken away. That's what happens, brethren. Doesn't mean that you're automatically got smarter like we discussed after you're immersed and like now all of a sudden I can do calculus. But what happens? The veil is removed. You have become a new spiritual person. Now you can start appraising things appropriately. Right? Things start falling into place. Now it's like, wow, I can see the light. I can see. The veil is removed. The focus shifts, right? From being focused on the physical, now we're focused on the reality of the spiritual. When you actually become a biblical Christian, that veil is removed. There's a different focus. So I'm going to close in Ephesians chapter 4. And one thing, brethren, having said all of this, if you're turning to Ephesians 4, one thing, brethren, we need to stay vigilant. Though we've been given this, Paul gets on them later in the chapter. He can't speak to them as spiritual men. Right? That right there lets you know that this is not some miraculous thing that just all of a sudden now everything's perfect, right? We have to be vigilant. We have to remain immersed into Christ. It's ongoing. Ephesians 4, we'll pick it up in verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed, how? In the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. There you go. One of the things we need to do, brethren, is be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The old man is gone. A new creature has come forth, right? Renewed. Where's that renewal going to come from? It's going to come from God, right? From his word. We want a relationship with God. You cannot have a relationship with God if you don't listen to him. You can't have a relationship with God if you don't have conversation with God. Right? And based off the things that he would like to talk about too, not just what you want to talk about. I know a lot of people say that they have a relationship with God, but honestly, a lot of those are one-sided, aren't they? God is the husband. We are the bride. This is a conversation that goes both ways. And he is the head of this house. Okay? Well, God is looking for spiritual people, brethren. It's what he's been looking for all along. Those are the people that are going to be in heaven. Okay, right? Spiritual people who worship God. What did it say? In spirit and in truth. That's what God wants. But sometimes we got to do a spiritual gut check. Where am I? We got to ask ourselves, am I a spiritual person? Is my mind set on the flesh or is it set on the spirit? Where am I truly living? Where am I living? Asking those questions and being honest with your answer. All right? Thank you for waiting. Let's have a quick closing prayer. Father God, we are so grateful for you. We're so grateful to be indwelt by your Spirit. My prayer would be that we would be led by the Spirit this week, that we can overcome the obstacles that come before us, and that you watch over us and protect us and preserve us for the work that you have given us. Thank you for Jesus who brings the Spirit, and it's in his name that I pray. Amen. Thanks, everyone.